muscular atrophy and promotes cardiovascular health by lowering blood pressure. Mentally, staying active triggers the release of feel-good neurotransmitters like endorphins and dopamine, which actively reduce stress and anxiety. So a lack of momentum in your life may be part of the problem of what you're dealing with, the anxiety or stress. You're not moving. But just as the fit, can we turn the monitors? Is there a monitor down here? I know too many people like hearing myself talk, but I don't like hearing it. Now that we know there's a physical, we just talked about a physical momentum. Do you know there's a spiritual momentum? Two people said amen. There is a spiritual momentum, and that spiritual momentum, to talk in an elevator pitch sense with the time we have, that spiritual momentum will always have a trajectory of getting you closer to God's will in your life. That spiritual momentum. And usually it will produce maturity sometimes. Sometimes it will produce miracles in your life because your momentum of what you're hearing God leading you to do. Well, just like Joshua earlier that we just saw, it can manifold many other different things in kingdom, whether sharing your faith with somebody. But God is all about spiritual momentum. He doesn't want you to stay where you are right now. And half of American church said, "I'm not saying amen. I like where I am now. It's comfortable." God is always about momentum because He wants to lead you somewhere. Boy, I was excited in this Presbyterian church today. I know I'm a little off, but follow my lead here. Momentum will give us the life that God has called us into if we continue to move and not be in a tug of war with our intentions. We said this earlier. We can intend to do something and never do it. That is two different things. My intentions are not momentum. My intentions are me thinking that I may do something about something and have some great ideas. Let's look at quickly some people in the Bible that we know very well that had to have momentum of where God was calling them. Certainly the play, and we'll talk about that just a minute ago, but let's start at the very beginning with Abraham. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Can you put that up on the screen? We know this at the beginning of Abraham. It says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Sit where you are and think of all the great things I want you to do.'" No, the Lord, that's not the right translation. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave." Leave is momentum, right? There's motion. "Your native country, your relatives, and your father's families, and go to the land that I will show you." Abraham had it okay where he was, but God was calling him to much greater things, but he had to leave and go. He had to leave and go. We know this story very well because sometimes the momentum we need to have to go to where God's calling us to go may not be, the birds may not be singing, the bees are buzzing, there's prosperity everywhere. You may be getting momentum to go places that are not places you're comfortable to go. Let's look at Jonah. We know him very well. Jonah, I think it's Jonah 1, 1 through 3. "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai." Keep going. "Sit around and think of all the great things I want you to do. Get up. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh." Nineveh wasn't Disney World. Nineveh was a lot of sin, and as we know further into the story, Jonah had already made a predisposition or a judgment on what these people should be getting, and it wasn't him preaching the gospel to them. "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it. Must I have seen how wicked its people are?" Keep going. "But Jonah," oh, he did get up, "but he went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where they found a ship leaving from Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing away," basically. And don't we know he checked in unawarely to the Whale Inn and Resort and had to live there. And I warn you, and I've had to find out my own way, if God has told you to do something and you have great intentions to do it and there's no momentum towards it, I'm not saying a whale will show up, but something will to redirect your path. Let's fast forward a little bit. We're not going in order. We know this scripture very well about, again, motion, about doing something, following God's direction to where he wants us to go. Matthew 14, I think it's 22 through 20. This is Jesus. So Jesus is in full gear ministry here. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. So it was after a great ministry, and now they're going across the lake. After sending them home, meaning Jesus, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. So they're being called into this. Keep going. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them. Hey, they're still on the water, right? We know that. Walking on the water. Continue. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in fear. They cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Here we go, we're talking about movement and momentum. Then Peter called to the Lord, because he was always the first to talk about something. "If it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water, because I have great intentions of what I want to do here." No. Then Jesus comes in response, says, "So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on the water." He said, "Come, come." There was momentum in that. Keep going. "But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted." Don't be careful, but be diligent to what you say you want God to do in your life. Because there was a storm going on when Jesus was in there, right? And Peter wants to walk on water. But yet, Jesus honors that and says, "Okay, if you want to do that, I need movement. You need to get out of the boat to do that." And then obviously, Peter realizes what he asked for and starts looking at everything but Jesus. And he starts to sink. But the point of this story is Jesus asked him, he didn't levitate Peter out of the boat. He asked him to come out of the boat. Let's go on to some other, another character in the Bible. We know, well, leading up to Joshua, Moses, Exodus 3:10. Let's just read Exodus 3:10. We know Moses was born where he was born, in Egypt and everything around there. And he's hearing the voice of the Lord say, "Now, go." Again, this is God to Moses. "For I am sending you on a vacation." No, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. "You must lead my people of Israel out of Egypt." Moses had to get up and do something. Moses was a stutterer. He was very, from all accounts we know, he was very self-conscious of himself. He wasn't the great leader that he would see in himself to do that. But he was obedient, and he had momentum, and God could work with that momentum to go, and that's what he ended up doing. Joshua, as we were talking earlier, this is early after Moses' death. Joshua 1:1-2, it says, "My servant is dead." We heard that earlier in the play. "Therefore, sit around and have great intentions of this promised land that we could look at some brochures and what are great." No, he says, "Arise." God says to Joshua, "Arise, go over this Jordan and all with your people to the promised land." Here's a quote by an author, Stephen Moretti, I believe. And it says, "Take action." So we're talking about momentum. "Take action. An inch of movement will bring you closer to your goals. An inch of movement will bring you closer to your goals than any mile of intentions would ever do that." So it's that tug of war and tensions versus momentum of what God's calling us to do. We need momentum. Let's get into part two right now. In many cases, your yesterday is preparing you for today. I know as we become born again and we decide to follow Christ, Paul's very explicit about 2 Corinthians, that we are therefore now a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away, the old things have become new, and that is so true. But our memories didn't disappear. Our lessons didn't disappear. What we've learned doesn't disappear. We are new in creatures, but there's still the past that actually might be able to teach us and ground us in the things of the future that God's giving us momentum that we need to take to go do. If we think right now, we think what has happened, whether tragedy in your life in the past, and people have, and we all have that at some degree, there's probably a lesson in there. It's a hard lesson, but there's a lesson in there. Whether it's something you've done very victoriously in your life, accomplished, all the success, whatever, there's a lesson somewhere in your life. But just, we can easily think of Joshua specifically. He's learning. He approached the Jordan River a lot easier because he saw the Red Sea split. Time before with Moses. I believe he could walk up to this Jericho wall and see what God's already provided leading up to that. Whether it was manna in the wilderness, as we heard. You see, Joshua also had a great memory, I would believe, because he was the last of the few that were the ones that were actually coming out of Egypt in that suppression. So he didn't want to go back. So he knew his yesterday of what he went through was to always now keep his eyes and focus on the Lord leading him to wherever he was going, because he was not going to go back to that. Even when Israel would cry out, oh, at least we had scheduled meals. No, you don't want to go back to that. Here in Joshua 3:14, so important. Again, after the walls have just fallen down, and this is how Joshua is approaching and talking to, God's talking to him, how you're going to cross a body of water your second time. That's pretty good. First time's pretty good. Second time, you're going to cross, the water's going to open up, and you're going to be able to walk through. Joshua 3:14-17. Again, the character from today. So the people left their camp. So Joshua is following the voice of the Lord to cross the Jordan. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Keep going. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Man, don't you think God could have timed it a little better, like a low tide or a dry season? He's God. Doesn't matter. He's going to bring them through. But just imagine, just as you're approaching that river right there and having that mindset of like, oh boy, that Jordan River is never crested like that before. Joshua, you sure we should keep doing this? I mean, gosh, at least it could be a little drier. I mean, the Red Sea wasn't as high. You can imagine some people doing that. I think one of the key things when God's given you, when you have momentum and you're dwelling somewhat on yesterday to get you to today, which what has been planted in you, I think our character, Mark Mason, said it so greatly, and it's scripturally as well. It's like when you're in a season of following God and you need to hear every word, you can't complain. Complaining is always cancer, but certainly in those moments, it will distance you from God. And then you'll have to make your own resources of how did I get here, and now where am I going to go from there? But it's so important knowing that. But you can just see the banks were overflowing, so visually it's like, wait a minute, I really need to trust God even more. So we go on. But as soon as the feet of the priests who carried the ark touched the water at the river's edge, keep going, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zereth. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan onto dry ground. We're going to stop there, actually. If you're walking along water that has split, but if you're walking along river that has split, that's quite a testimony that you're walking, you're in that. That's a miracle. And my point here of the yesterday is some of where everybody was getting to that point, Joshua being the leader, is because his yesterdays continued to prove that God was always faithful where he was directing the Israelites, always. And when God begins to direct you and you have that momentum in your life, I would welcome and encourage you, think of the faithfulness God has been to you. We tend to overlook it sometimes. You got up today. Yeah, Pastor, that happens every day. It's no guarantee, please. Have we forgot? And we have this mindset that tomorrow is guaranteed? You're up. You're alive. And God's faithful to lead you in that. The other thing that we need to know is, in your yesterdays, is I bet we could find out that when you did step out into things before, the momentum, and God is leading you into that, that most of the provision and answers to do what you needed to do only came when you stepped out. Not when you sat at your table and made sure you read more scripture. I'm not saying that's bad, but follow my lead. You never stepped out, God will never provide. He needs that trust in you to make the first step. And you look at Joshua's life with the spies and running into Rahab and all these things that have gone out. God always provided when Joshua would say, we're moving forward. We're going forward. We don't give up after the seventh try of catapulting people over. All these things. We're not giving up because he's going to be faithful, but the resources will come. I'm sure we have many testimonies that they have in our life in those areas. Number three, walls. Can anybody help put this back together when we're done? No. There will be walls in your life, and you've already experienced some of them. It's so important. They may not be a physical, gigantic wall, but they are in your life. When I'm facing some walls, I'm always reminded of Jesus saying in John 16, saying, be of good cheer. Although you may have some trials and tribulations, I have overcome the world. We need to know our God, know what he can do, because he will call you in front of some walls sometimes where it's a lot easier not to be in front of those walls. Be at home, be doing what you want to do, but I'm calling you in a direction to go in certain areas. And most likely with those walls to come down, it's going to come down in an unconventional way, right? I mean, why the number seven? And if you read further, most of the musicians were out front on this wall that they're going around. From a military strategy, it made no sense of how to conquer a town. But God said, I needed to do it this way, so you knew it was only me that can do it and relying on me. But walls. Follow through is so important in the Christian walk. It goes against the grain of what the world does. And it's because it seeks, follow through seeks for me to love my enemies when they've hurt me. Follow through means to give when maybe it's a sacrifice for something greater that God wants to do. Following through leads you to a devotion that may not make sense for others around you. Following through is important. following through, as I said earlier, will bring you closer to inviting God's will in your life. And part of God's will in your life, no matter where you are geographically, no matter where you are spiritually right now, is always a true north. The true north is for you to know God more, and for Him to know you and trust you more, and for you to become more like Christ more. The way I think, the way I talk, the way I love. And that's follow through. But we can get very lost in the tug of war of intentions versus momentum, follow through, even approaching any walls. We have to be very careful. And I'm preaching to myself right now. You have to be very careful. I'm not used to holding them up. Very careful, especially in church, to believe that if I agree with something, I've mentally assented to be therefore I am. Let me get into it. Our intentions are all in our OS system of what I'm thinking, what I'm doing. And I can believe that I'm a Christian, the best Christian, because I do this and that and this and that. But when God calls me where the rubber meets the road, I say, wait a minute, I said five amens in church. I agree to what the pastor has been saying for years. Does this make sense? It's a mental intention that you think you are somewhere where you may not be. And we have to be careful with that, because a lot of the Western church is there. And that breeds hypocrites over and over and over, because there's no action to their faith of what they're believing in. Joshua was able to stake this claim because he had great follow-through in his life in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we go to Joshua 24? And we know most of this, or at least some of the scripture. Joshua 24. So he could say this unequivocally, whether he was standing in a wall or standing in front of a river or in the middle of a battle where God was able to keep the sun and moon still for the Israelites to conquer a battle. You got a lot of resource there, and that was God. So he was so confident that his God would provide every time, but he had to remind him of this self when he went into, he said, so fear the Lord. That's a good start. And serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols of your ancestors. And he's preaching this to the Israelites. And worship when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in the Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. Continue. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today. He's saying, Joshua's saying how important this is. Choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods, lowercase g, your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? Joshua's trying to bring this together. Who are we serving? So Joshua, you can just know he stood up and just proclaimed this and drew a line in the sand. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If that is your heart posture daily, God will help you with your momentum. If that is your heart posture daily, God will give you the remembrance through the Holy Spirit of how faithful He's been yesterday, so your today can do what He's calling you today. If your heart posture is serving the Lord, me and my house, if there's walls He's calling you up to that look insurmountable, He'll bring them down. Because you're serving the Lord. For me and my house. We use this as a family term. We've catalyst into it. And that's great. But he's talking about a whole nation too. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. You see, if I serve the Lord as uno. My Spanish isn't always good. Uno. If I serve the Lord, I have no room for anything else to be serving me or I serving it. Serving the Lord. It's so important. It's so important. All right, Pastor, that was nice. What a nice play today. I hear you a little bit, but really, you kind of ventured into it a little bit. But what does that have to do with me today and the month of July 2026. I don't think I'm going to be in front of a river. I don't think I'm going to be in front of a big wall. I'm not escaping. I'm not doing anything. What does this mean? Well, let's go back to our 3 points real quickly. As I said earlier, God has given you dreams. God has given you direction. God has spoken to you to lead you somewhere. And it may not be a full picture. Thank God. Because if he gives you your whole picture, you may get overwhelmed. But he gives you one day, maybe 1 week, maybe a half a year, what he wants you to do now. But I would encourage you, whether you have dreams we have Aaliyah had dreams of serving in Uganda and helping children. As we speak, I know there's a 7-hour difference. She's in Uganda right now serving kids. That was her dream that she took momentum. And know he's been faithful before to provide needs and things to get there. And whatever wall she walks into down there, it will come down. But she's doing something. Her dreams, what's been implanted in her to fulfill God's desire in and through her. What dreams have you been given? What things, I'm not setting you up, but I am. What has God told you to serve here? Crickets. Hide behind the wall. Help. Has God told you to serve here? Well, I have good intentions, Pastor. It just life gets busy. I don't agree with that either. My life's busy too. And you can't make more time. There's only 24 hours, but you can manage it. But what is he calling you to do? Well, I've got great intention, but I have no momentum to do anything with it. Okay, well, that's fine. Serve here, serve at a local missions. I know we have people that do that in Providence Rescue, wherever. But has he called you to at least step out and do something? Tensions won't get you too far. Step out, and he'll fulfill. Yesterday, what has he done? If I went around this room, I know many of you could testify how he has been so faithful, whether in my finances, whether in health and healing, mending relationships that you never thought could be mended. He's done that yesterday because it's preparing you probably for something today or tomorrow that you can walk in and say, I know how faithful he is, and he'll follow me where he's leading me because he's always done that before. He's always done that before. Lastly, walls. Like we said, God will bring down walls he's called you in front of. And it's probably not a conventional way that you learned in school or different things like that. He's doing it his way because that's what he wants to showcase and glorify. Don't be scared of walls he's called you in front of. But here's my one caveat, especially, and I'm not going to go out on a rant here, but especially in the end of days we're getting into, because we know Jesus is returning soon, amen, glory, hallelujah. As we get closer to that, we as Christians, Christ followers, born again believers, all that titles there, we will probably easily get distracted and be standing in front of walls that God has not called us to stand in front of and bring down. Be careful. Make sure you're hearing his voice to go to and stand in front of these walls. Well, it's to bring the wall of a bad relationship down, to mend it. But we got to be careful because even with relationships, we may be standing in front of walls that we think are going to come down, and we thought we were hearing God's voice and they haven't come down yet because we want to fix everybody. I want to fix my whatever. Relationships is not bad. I'm going to fix it. No, God will fix it. God will do it. But you got to trust him. But maybe he's telling you not to stand in front of that wall. Us as the Christian Western Church are standing in front of many walls that will not come down. They won't come down because God's not calling us to stand in front of them. Nationalism, many other things that are going on. He's not calling us to bring it down. He's calling us to go through a lot of walls and individually love thy neighbor as thyself if you love the Lord thy God, and then things will fall down, but not as big agendas of things of falling down. And I'll talk more about that in a later date. But make sure you're standing in front of the right wall that you've been led to, because you'll get very frustrated if it's not coming down. I've wasted my energy. I've trusted you, God. Where are you? And it hasn't come down because he didn't call you in front of it. Make sure you're hearing the voice. If one little thing, if you're standing in front of the wall, here's one little breadcrumb. You usually got favor to get there. God has ordained your steps. If you're hitting wall after wall, bump after bump, oh, the devil's out to get me. You know, we blame him for a lot, and he's real. He roams like a roaring lion, kills, steals, destroys. I'm not saying, but we're our worst enemies at times when we want to do our own things. And we're wondering why walls aren't falling down. So pray, pray, pray you're in front of the right wall to bring down, and it will come down if you're called to be in that. Here's my prayer for today as we're landing the plane. And please take this to your heart, because if you walk this way, you'll get the momentum you need that God's leading to you to follow through. You'll be reminded through the Holy Spirit of how great things He's already done in your lives, and how He's stretching you to trust Him even more now. You'll know the right wall to be in front of, and it will come down, whatever that instruction you hear from God. But as Joshua said in Joshua 1:9, this is the prayer for today and beyond. Can you put that up? Can you put that up? All right, I'll read it. It's all right. Joshua 1:9. This is what God, at the beginning of Joshua's leadership, heard. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If you take that to heart and make that your daily prayer, no matter what you're in front of, no matter where He's leading you, no matter what unexpected things are happening, and in Joshua's life too and beyond with the other prophets and leaders of the Old Testament into the New Testament, they knew the Lord God was with them. So they needed to be strong and courageous, not twiddle thumbs and wait for the perfect, strong and courageous, not arrogant and offensive. We need to know that in America sometimes for Christians. Strong and courageous. Those are two different things. Because God can work in and through those areas if we do that. Being strong and courageous. Guys are all looking at me like I've got some new glasses on. Stand up. Strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. Holy Spirit, thank you for being in this room. And being in each and every one of us that have decided to follow Christ. Lord, continue to speak to us, especially in these days that are ahead, to give us, if you've called us into something, help us through the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to give us momentum, to move on what we're hearing, and to know that some of what I may all not see yet or have provisions, as we said earlier, Lord, you usually provide once when we step out. So thank you for being faithful in that. Lord, we know some of our yesterdays are very bad. We've got loss. We've got tragedy. For some, it may feel like success on a human temporal level. Wherever it is, whatever it is, Holy Spirit, show us that you had been faithful through some of that. Even show us at times where you've been with us when we didn't even realize it at times. Encourage us that what we need to do today is already in us to step out, because you've been faithful, faithful to us, faithful. And Lord, when you send us in front of walls, like a wall of Jericho, let us not fear, but be courageous. Let us not hold back, but move forward and be strong in you, to know you are the one. You are the one. You are the one. Not in our great intellect, not in my great planning. You are the one that will bring walls down that you call us in front of. For your kingdom, for your glory, not for our ministry, not for me, not for anybody else, but for your glory, for your kingdom and what we build here. Lord, if we've failed in any of this or all of this at times, Holy Spirit, pick us back up, dust us off, and push us. Push us, because you're leading us to greater things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you need prayer for anything, we have a prayer team up here. You don't need to roll on the mats, just walk. But yeah, you can come up here and we'd love to pray for you for anything. If you've not born again, you haven't received Christ into your life, committed your life to Christ, I'd encourage you to come up and pray with somebody in our prayer team. We're not trying to get you to join a church. We would love for you to join the family of God, though. It's a big family. So come, we'd love to pray for you in that as well. And I think that is about it. Can we try this? Our worship team's on break.